So what was that verse? What book of the Bible was it from?
John 1:1.
Did you get that? There we go. You give around some candy canes. You know, light's an incredibly amazing thing, especially when it comes to darkness. I love that whole theme that comes out in the Bible. You know, light always seems to pierce the darkness. It's regularly, the theme is regularly repeated throughout the Bible. And especially at Christmas time, the light has come. The light of Christmas. There's incredible power in light. Light shines in dark places, isn't there? You know, I love that story. Anybody seen the movie Apollo 13? One, two, three. Three people. Wow, you missed the goodie there. So it's starring Tom Hanks. If you don't know about it, I'll just fill you in on it. Apollo 13 was a rocket that went up to the moon and blasted off into the moon. And it was commanded by a guy called the commander of the capsule of the spaceship was Commander Jim Lovell. And it blasted off, went up into space, and then there was an explosion on the ship, and it caused a hole to be ruptured in one of the oxygen tanks, and they were losing valuable oxygen, and then there was that famous line that three people know about, and the rest of you don't, so let me tell you. And back to Mission Control in Houston, they said, "Houston, we've got a problem." And that was the beginning of this epic event of trying to get the spaceship back to Earth. It was going to the moon. These guys were going to land on the moon. They had to abort their mission. And they're probably thinking, man, we'll probably never get back to Earth because we're losing so much oxygen. The oxygen's running out. And while all this is unfolding in the movie, the movie cuts from these guys in their spaceship going, "What are we going to do?" Back down to Earth, and it zooms in to Jim Lovell's family, not Lovett's, but Lovell's family, and it zooms in to their television set. And they've been watching all the events as they unfolded hour by hour on the TV. They didn't have cell phones, didn't have all that equipment. This was the 1970s, and it zoomed in into this interview that Jim Lovell was having with an interviewer just before he blasted off into space, and he was recalling a time when he was flying a fighter jet that had come off an aircraft carrier, and it was in the middle of the night, and they were in combat conditions, and he was returning to his aircraft carrier, and it was the first time in his life that he had done a carrion landing at night. The problem was that his radar had jammed, the homing signal had gone, and he was lost. He was running out of fuel, and it was pitch black darkness. Because it was combat conditions, there's no lights on the carrier. He couldn't find it, and he's completely in the dark. And he had made this little light that he was using to shine in the cockpit so that he could see the controls on his cockpit. And he flicked that on, and when he flicked it on, it short-circuited all his control panel lights, and he couldn't see the control panel. He couldn't see what altitude he was flying at. He couldn't see the horizon, which way was up and which way was down. It was totally dark. He couldn't see a thing. He's running out of fuel. He doesn't know where the carrier is. There's nothing that can help him get back home. It's completely dark inside and outside of the plane. And he thought, what am I going to do? And he looks down into the darkness, and he hopes that it is down, because you never know when you're flying in the dark with no instruments, not a light in place, whether you're up or down. And he looks down into the blackness, and he sees some lights piercing the darkness. It wasn't lights from an electrical source. He was looked down, and he saw a cloud of phosphorescent algae that was being stirred up by the propellers of the aircraft carrier and by the wake of the ship as it plowed through the ocean. And he said that it was like a pathway that led him back to his aircraft carrier. And in his words, he said, it was a light that led me home. The light led him home. I love that. What a wonderful picture. I think that's the picture of Christmas. The light leads us home into the presence of God. It draws us home into God, you know, and as I said at the beginning of the service, you know, John the Baptist's father prophesied these words around the time that Jesus was born. He said that Jesus would shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet in the pathway of peace. He leads us home into a pathway of peace. And, you know, he's telling us, you know, the verse is telling us that Jesus provides light in the darkness, that he'd be a pathway in a dark world that we live in. He's going to guide us home. Who spoke those words that I just read out? Anybody remember? Zechariah. Who's Zechariah? Huh? John the Baptist's father. Anybody get that? Well, you've got to be careful. You've got to be quick. John the Baptist's father. Did you say that? I think you did, didn't you? Say it again. John the Baptist's father. You've got to be tuned in on these ones. Two. Only two. Let's try that again. Who said this? Zechariah. Yeah, I didn't see a hand go up, so when I ask, you've got to put your hand up, and my famous little helper is going to run around. Let's try it again. Who said this? Zechariah. There's some hands. Did you see them? Margaret's got it. Even Rick got it. Is there somebody else? You've got to be in tune. Right. Okay. 30 years after Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, said this, Jesus is recorded as saying these words: I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. That's amazing, isn't it? I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. And think, you know, just think about that. You know, Jesus is saying that he is the light of the world, and if we're following him, we will never walk in darkness. That's an amazing promise, isn't it? That's an amazing statement to be able to make, isn't it? That we'd never walk in darkness. So let's think about that for a moment. What is it like if we walk in darkness? Well, Jesus tells us what it's like in John 12:35. He says, "Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you." Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they're going. When you walk in the darkness overtakes you. But if we're walking in the light, we'll be able to see where we're going. You know, that's what it's like when we're walking in darkness. We can't see where we're going, can we? We can't see how to get through life. It can seem like the darkness overtakes us. And we all know what that's like. Have you ever driven in a car in a dark night? This is something I shared a few weeks ago, but I'm not recommending you do it. You know, have you ever tried to pitch black and you're driving down the road in your car, way out in the countryside, and turn the lights off? Have you ever tried that? And when you do, you do it to frighten the kids, don't you? You know, every time I've done it to frighten the kids, I've ended up more scared than they are. You know? And it just, you get that feeling of what this verse is talking about, what it's like when the darkness overtakes you. And when you turn it off, you know, you don't know where you're going. You don't know whether you're drifting to the left or to the right, going down the side of the road and really are ready to crash. You lose all perception or direction. It feels like you're drifting. You don't know what's happening. And you're dying to turn the lights back on. But you're just extending it out a little bit just to make that drama that's unfolding in the car that much more tense, you know, that Judy will go, "Put it back on," you know. And it's a welcome relief when you do pop the lights back on. And this is the thought, this is the feeling that comes out when darkness hits us. It can feel like it overwhelms us. And a lot of us know what that's like. You know, think about the victims and the families that are struggling at this Christmas time through the horrific tragedy at Whakaari White Island. You know, they're struggling with life-threatening burns. For lots of families, it's a real dark time for them, isn't it? They're overcome with pain and suffering and grief and unanswered questions. They know, I think, what it's like to be overcome, overwhelmed by darkness. You know, as I read in the paper this morning, you know, the bushfires in Australia, family after family after family that have lost homes, they know what it's like to be overcome by darkness. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. And I think lots of us know those sorts of feelings, don't we? Our hearts can be overtaken by anxious feelings. We can be overwhelmed by worry or fear or grief or terror. We can be overtaken by depression, overwhelmed by the darkness, overwhelmed by some sort of sickness. For some people, they're overwhelmed by their addictions. And these things can take control of our mind, emotions, and hearts, and thoughts. And when we're overtaken by the darkness, we just don't know where it's going to take us, do we? And you might have gone through a dark time. You might even be in one now. If you have, or you are, let me tell you this. This is the wonderful thing about Christmas. Jesus gives light in dark places. Jesus gives us light in dark places, the places that we end up in emotionally, spiritually, even physically. He brings light. And that's what he wants to bring to you this morning. And I was just thinking as we were worshiping this morning that let's have a moment of prayer. And for people that are in dark places this morning. People that are struggling in hospitals around the country and in Australia, suffering from the horrific burns from that tragedy down in White Island. People in Australia, the firemen and all the support agencies that are involved in that. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the message of Christmas. That it's not just about a little baby, it's about a baby that grew to be a man who came to bring light to the world. And Lord, as we look out in our world that we're living in, Lord, we can see darkness in all sorts of corners of it and pockets of it. And Father, we pray this morning for the families that are suffering at the moment from the White Island eruption and the devastation that it's caused their family and their loved ones. For those that have lost their loved ones, Father, we pray that in the darkness of grief, Father, that your light would shine, bringing them hope and comfort in the presence of your peace. For those that are struggling with these life-threatening burns, Father, we pray that you would comfort them in the midst of their suffering. Bless them. May they meet with you in their hospital rooms. Bless the doctors and the nurses and the medical people that are caring for them with wisdom and help them figure out ways that they can relieve their suffering. Father, we pray for the police and all these social services that are involved in searching for bodies and the aftermath of this tragedy. Bless them with wisdom. And those that have gone to recover bodies and have had to deal with the gruesome task of identifying people. Lord, bless them. We pray for people in Australia going through the horrific bushfires at the moment. Father, we pray that in the midst of their darkness, the Lord, that they would meet with you. And that this Christmas there would be a sense of peace in the midst of the tragedy that's been unfolding there.
Bless them. Bless the social services, the firemen and women, and the people that are involved in extinguishing the blaze and bringing comfort and all the services that are needed at this time. Father, we pray for people in India going through suffering and persecution at the moment for their religious beliefs. Father, we may not agree with them, but Lord, we pray that in the midst of the persecution that they would find the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Bless the politicians. Bless the Prime Minister Modi. Father, we pray your blessing upon him that rather than persecute people, he would bring a blessing to them. Bring peace in that country. We pray for the Middle East and the wars that have been going on there over the years and for many people that are in refugee camps as a result of them. Lord, we pray, Prince of Peace, that you would intervene powerfully there. And Lord, for people here this morning that are in dark places, Father, we pray they would encounter you and your presence here. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the reading that we had from John's Gospel, what Gospel was it? John's. John's Gospel. Wow, I only got one. Two from John's Gospel. What Gospel was it? John's. Yeah, we got one again. Well, you're going to have to really work hard, but anyway, I'll eat them all later. You know that John was a good friend of Jesus, and he was a guy. He was a guy who really knew what darkness was like. And when he wrote this gospel, he was coming to the last years of his life, and he had been through some real dark times within his life. He knew what darkness was like. He watched his friend Jesus die. He was crucified. He watched his brother James, he was beheaded in Jerusalem. His good friend Peter was crucified upside down. Philip, another mate of his, was hanged outside against the pillar in Hierapolis, and Paul was executed in Rome. And he had had his fair share of heartache. He knew what it was like when darkness threatened to overwhelm people, and he wrote these words in John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So many people are overwhelmed by the darkness. And John, who had been through many, had seen his horrors, said, the light shines in the darkness, and it's not going to overwhelm us. I think he was talking more from personal experience here. All that he'd been through, that he knew that the light was not going to be overwhelmed by the darkness. The darkness was not going to overcome it. It's an encouraging truth for us to lay hold of at this Christmas, isn't it? If you're walking in the light, no amount of darkness is going to overtake you. No amount of depression, no amount of fear, no amount of worry, no sickness, no illness, no suffering, no depression, no whatever. It's going to overwhelm you if you're walking in the light. You say, well, what is the light? Well, it's not a star. It's not lights on a tree. It's a person. Jesus said, I'm the light. Who's the light? Jesus. Did you get that one? And there was, Carolyn, you're just really onto it here. You must be a children's ministry leader. You know, here's the startling thing about this baby that we're celebrating today. This baby that was born in a manger, grew up to be a man, and he is God. And we hear this idea coming out in what Jesus said here in John 8. He's saying, I am the light. And we know that the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:5 that this is the message that we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. Who's light? God. God's light. There's more candy canes. Got to be, just chuck them out. Just chuck them out. God is light. And if Jesus is saying he's the light, then Jesus is saying that he is God. And this is the amazing thing that comes out in the Christmas story in Matthew's gospel. In chapter 1, verse 23, look, the virgin will conceive a child and she will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You got that way before I even said it. Well done. You read it on the screen, which means God with us. God, Jesus is God. No other religion has a faith and a belief in something like that. The Bible says this about the light, Psalm 43, verse 3, send your light out and your truth, let them guide me, let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. And the passage is telling us that the light leads us into the presence of God, and that's what Jesus does. He brings us into the presence of God. And that's what God wants for you this Christmas, that you would come into God's presence, that you would know him personally, that those overwhelming dark feelings that come in upon you at times would be lifted off your life, and that you would know the light of life. You'd know his love, his joy, his peace, his healing, his freedom. That's what life does when we're drawn into the presence of God. And he's drawing you into his presence today. I've got a wonderful testimony here of somebody who's experienced the light of Christ. Nathan's going to pray that now. You know, all of I've talked about right up to this time is nothing but theology. But that testimony is reality. A life changed. A life that has encountered the light of Christ right in her room. Jesus said, he's the light of the world. That if we follow him, we'll never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of light. And my big question for you this morning is this. Have you got it? Have you got it? And this is what he wants for us, for you. Not just for Preeti, but for every one of you here this morning. That you'd have the light of life. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. He's talking about life beyond measure, more superfluous life. He's promising a far better life than we could ever imagine, a life that doesn't walk in darkness but walks in the light of Christ. And it's a life that comes from knowing God, living in a relationship with God, with Jesus, and it begins when you receive the Spirit of life into your hearts. Have you received it? Not just to know about it theologically, but to experience it personally. Just as Preeti gave testimony to, God wants that to be your experience too. That you would know, that you would experience the light of light in your darkness, piercing your darkness, bringing life to you. Through this relationship in Jesus, he'll help us to see how to live in the blessings of God, blessings of his love, his joy, his patience. He'll guide our pathways into the pathway of peace. Peace that comes especially when we're feeling those dark feelings threatening to overwhelm us. When we're following Jesus and living in his life, we'll discover a pathway of life that's filled with meaning, with purpose, instead of hopelessness and despair and darkness. That's what the light of Christmas is all about. Will you receive it? Will you receive it? Or if you have, will you stand with me this morning and reaffirm your faith and commitment to it, to Jesus, to following Him, to walking in His light? If you'd like to stand, if you'd like to receive it, then pray with me. If you'd like to reaffirm it, then stand with me and pray too. The light of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that Your Son stepped into this world as the light of the world. And we thank You that we don't walk in darkness when we're following Him. And Jesus, we want to follow You this morning. We want to declare that we are following You. Your light, Your righteousness, Your truth, we want to follow it. Lord, lighten the pathway of our lives that we would see how to live life Your way. How to live in an abundance, in a full life, in a superfluous life, beyond measure life, an abundant life. Lord, we thank You that You bring light. Bring that light into our hearts today. We open our hearts and pray, Lord, that You would breathe and fill us. Breathe Your Spirit into our inner beings. Touch us. For those that are walking in darkness, Lord, bring Your light to bear that they would be set free from the dark feelings of worry, of guilt, of anxiety, of depression. And have the light of joy, of love, of peace, of patience, the presence of Your Spirit brings to us. Lord, we welcome You. We receive You. Fill us. Touch us. Revive us. Bring us more light. Especially in the dark places that have overwhelmed us. We praise You, Jesus. Come into our hearts now by Your Spirit. Touch us. Give You praise. Amen. We're going to sing our final song. And maybe that's the first time for you that you've prayed a prayer like that and you want to find a little bit more out about the Christian life. We've got some little packs up the front that we'd love to give to you. And that's our gift in there. There's a Bible in there and a little booklet that explains how to get started in the Christian life and some other material. And we'd love you to take one of those home. And or if you haven't got a Bible, you're very welcome just to come up and take one. And it's our gift to you. We believe that this word of God brings light and truth to us. And so please come and take one of those. Or if you've made that and want to find out a little bit more about it, come and talk to me or one of the pastors and leaders here that are down the front, Pastor Anil, Pastor Rena, Pastor Judy. And Pastor Lauren, she's on holiday, but I'm sure she'd love to talk to you too. Hey, bless you. Let's worship Him, our Lord.